We're going to do a Sunday school, a Christmas Sunday school. I'd have you open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Haven't had a chance to talk to, I hope I'm not messing with Pastor Kinney's message this morning. Okay, Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Christmas, I don't know about you, it's a special time of year for me. Okay, because my mind always floods back to the fact that I grew up in a home where on Christmas Eve, because I'm one of eight children, and they would all come home for Christmas. And all their children would come home for Christmas. And all their grandchildren would come home for Christmas. And my mom's house would have 80 to 100 people in it on Christmas Eve. And we'd get together, and we started a tradition. Many of my nieces and nephews, they don't know Christ as Savior. And we would have a birthday cake for Jesus. Now, I know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. We're not going into that, okay? That's not what that's about. But we'd have a birthday cake for Jesus. And I can still remember one of the nieces, when she was about 10, running to her mother and said, Uncle Brian's trying to ruin Christmas. He's bringing Jesus into it. And that's the way that worked. Well, her mother got saved. Her aunt got saved. She's heard it multiple times. Many of her cousins got saved. And now they understand that even though he wasn't born on this day, Christmas is about who? It's about Jesus Christ. And I don't care if you're under conviction and you go, I'm never having a tree that's a bale bush. I don't care. We have a Christmas tree. Amen. I don't bow to the tree. I don't run around it chanting. Okay. But it's not about the tree, and I love trees. Okay. It's not about the giving of gifts to each other. It's not about the beautiful songs. I've been trying to get, they haven't got it prepared yet, but I've been pushing Pastor and Melanie to sing a song. Okay. It's probably 5 years old. It's a Christmas song that I first heard. My daughter sent it to me, okay? And they're not ready for today, but maybe next Sunday. He keeps promising me. He was practicing it. But the thing is that Christmas is about a miracle. Amen? It's God's miracle of what? For God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. What's the rest of that verse? Should not perish but have. Christmas is about everlasting life. It's about everlasting life. And it doesn't matter what else is going on. This past week, in one of our divine appointments that Judy and I have because of her cancer, and we go to witness the people, I love talking about that. Had one of the women, when I went to give them the track from the church, and they go, the church's name is Emmanuel. What does that mean? That means God with us. Well, how do you know God can be with you? Well, let me tell you. Okay? And you should never forget that. When we chose the name for this church, the first group, Pastor Christian, made sure we put Baptist in the name. Okay? But as a group of young believers, and we were all wet behind the ears, it's funny to think about it, you know, a church being started by a bunch of 20-somethings and one old man, that was John. I'm just teasing. Okay? But we chose Emmanuel because the one thing we knew we needed here was God with us. God with us, you know. And so we said we want to be Emmanuel Bible Church. And he says, but you're Baptist. I said, yeah, we're Baptist. So you got to have Baptist in the name. So then we'll be Emmanuel Bible Baptist Church. And he goes, you're not Bible Baptist. You're independent. And so that's why our name seems backwards, okay? Why it says Emmanuel Baptist Bible Church. Pastor Christian wanted to make sure everybody knew that we were Baptist, and he told us that there was no Baptist Bible denomination, where there was a Bible Baptist denomination, very big in this country, okay? And he goes, and we're not affiliated with that. And he says, there's no Baptist Bible denomination. 8 years later, you know what we found out? They had over a small group over in New England. There was a Baptist Bible fellowship of about 70 churches. And I went to him and he goes, too late now, Brian, too late. Now it's registered with the state. That's the way it's going to be. And so that's what our name is. But it's Emmanuel, God with us, you know. And that's the embodiment of the promise that Christmas is about. The thing is that, you know, more people attempt suicide at this time of year than any other time. There's more heartache, there's more hurting, there's more feelings of disappointment. You know what they need to know? Emmanuel. They need to know Emmanuel. It says, you know, his name, it says Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know what I love about that? God is not a man. Okay. Last name, Myers, right? So, last name. I want her to say it out loud, okay? Meet Mr. and Mrs. Myers, okay? God's not a man that he can lie. We're told that in Hebrews chapter 16. And you got to remember this. You, in and of yourself, and no one on the face of this earth can come to God. He's got to come to us. That's what Christmas is about. I pray many times, and I pray like this, God, you're holy and I am not. God, you're righteous and I am not. God, you're just and I am not. God, you're pure and I am not. And if that's all that you were, that would be enough, Father, because the embodiment of who you are, but it wouldn't be where I could have you come into my life. But because of your Son, you're also loving, the source of all real love. You're gracious. And first and foremost, you're merciful. And we need to remember in the Christmas season that God is loving and gracious and merciful. And we should be that with each other. You know, I can't come to God. He's got to come to me. Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 spoke about this, even though he was a prophet of God. And he says, woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So before you think of yourself as being too much, one of the greatest, I believe, the greatest of the Old Testament prophets said, woe is me, when he came in the presence of God. And we should never forget that. The Apostle Paul said, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth, for the will is present with me. Okay? It will take a miracle of heaven for heaven to be there for me. How can I be worthy? That's because God never breaks his promise. You know what we need to remember? as we think about Christmas, we think about everything. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the promise of God. Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be what? Fulfilled. It was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, a virgin shall be with child. Several hundred years before his birth. You go back, you find the verse in Isaiah. Several hundred years, a promise was given. Turn to Luke chapter 1. I decided this morning that I wouldn't put all my markers in. See, people go, how do you turn to your passages so quickly, preacher? Because they always say, we can't keep up with you. People, I'm brain dead. I have 20 markers in my Bible. So I just put them in the place, flip to them, and that's it. Yeah. The more you preach, the more you deal with different things, you want to be able to get to them quickly. You know what I encourage you to do? Put little ribbon markers in your Bible. Amen? So it's there. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 30. And the angel said unto Mary, fear not. I love that. Don't you know that's the message of Christmas? Is fear not. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for how long? That's a promise I have. My salvation is for how long? And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That's why so many of the other, but we are a King James Bible-believing church. You know, some of the other translations put in, she was a young woman and not a virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be what? And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know what I love about that? Down farther, because I got saved out of church that said Mary was a co-mediatrix with Jesus. That means that she was co-equal with him. And they talk about Immaculate Conception in the Catholic Church. They're not talking about Jesus Christ's birth. They're talking about Mary's. That's how messed up that is. But I can show you the Bible says Mary knew she needed a Savior. Verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in what? God, my Savior. There's prophetic miracles that took place. Okay, there's at least 48 fulfilled prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the odds of that are? 48 fulfilled ones. Turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. This one has already been mentioned in the passage we read in Matthew and in Luke. Verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Go to Micah chapter 5. I'll help you. It's right after Obadiah. Not much help, is that? Micah chapter 5. Verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be, what? Ruler in Israel. But just look at who he's talking about, though. Whose goings forth have been from what? From old, from everlasting. It's talking about the birthplace of our king. Go to Numbers chapter 24. Numbers 24. You there? Verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy the children of Sheth. So the star, the announcement of his birth, okay, there's nothing in our Bible that says there was three wise men. Okay? I can remember growing up, what was that? Melchior, Shazbar, Balthazar. Okay, you learn the song, you sing that thing. It talks about wise men coming from the east, you know, the gift of the Magi. They gave three gifts, and they signified his position. Gold is the king. Frankincense is a priest. And myrrh as a prophet. Because you know what happened to all the prophets? Except one that I can think of. Elijah went up. The rest were killed. So when you think about this, I want you to know it talks about his star. I love that pastor told you. I believe the same as him. That star was an angel that led them. Okay. You want to study out angels, you're going to find they're tied to the stars. So we see, we know his name, his virgin birth. We know the place he was born. Prophecies given. We know there's going to be a star involved. Turn to Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel's right before Hosea. You say, I'm not much help, am I? You already know my personality. I'm not trying to be help. Daniel chapter 9, look at verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, who gave that commandment? Persian king, who gave the commandment? Hey, we got some Bible school people in here. I'm not hearing the name. Now, who gave the commandment for the building? Who did they go for and get approved by? Thank you. Okay. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. You know what you're given? You're given the time of his birth. The time of his birth. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. I'm going a little quick for you. That's okay. This is not a long Sunday school lesson, but I want you to think about all that God gave us and all that tells us about his coming. He tells us his name. He tells us the place of his birth. He tells us there's a star involved. He tells us the time of it. You can study it out. Jeremiah 23. Let me see here. What do I have? Verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a what? And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He's the righteous branch. Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy given about his birth, about his life, about his death, about his resurrection, and about him coming again. And people tell us, well, how do you believe that? Science doesn't match up with this. Science takes faith. In biblical Christianity takes faith. Here's the difference. Science is based off the observation, science falsely so-called, the observation of certain men who want to get you to believe a certain thing. It takes faith to believe them. Now, do you want to have faith in what men say? Or do you want to have faith in what God says? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now, people can get set at me. I do a lot of counseling. I'm trying to talk to people. Judy and I are trying to reach people. But I'm still very direct. I don't want people caught in their feelings. I want them growing in their faith. If you ask Pastor, he's going to tell you the same thing. Because our feelings change, don't they? And our emotions can change. But the Bible says Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. The promise of his birth is where we need to put the emphasis at this time of year. And it's already been said, he was born to die. He knew what he came for. He knew how long he was going to be here. He knew what form of suffering he was going to have. He knew what form of death he was going to have. Because one is prophesied in Psalms 22 and the other is told you in Isaiah 53. The Psalm 22, was written by who? David. He knew it was going to be a spiritual battle. Strong bulls of Bashan surrounded him. That's not a reference to oxen or cows. That's talking about demonic devils causing people to act a certain way. He saved others. Well, if you're who you claim to be, come down off that cross. He knew it was going to be taking place. And yet he still went for you and me. You know what people need to hear at this time of year? That he went. He was born to save me. He was born to save you. He always did all things to please his Father. I cannot say that. I don't believe there's anyone in here who can. But Christmas is about that. You see, the purpose of the miracles, the purpose of the prophecies, is for us to know that God came to us. God came to us. Do you ever try to fathom an omniscient? That means all knowing. Omnipresent. That's everywhere at once. Omnipotent. All powerful. God relating to me? I didn't know. I like Dr. Seuss. I'm a kook. If you can't admit it, I guarantee you, men, if I asked your wives, they'll tell me where you are a kook. Could I do that, Tanya? You could tell me about it. Okay. Once I understood this, you know, because it's like I'm not a worm and he's God. I'm a speck and he's God. And it still doesn't describe where I am in relationship to him. You know what I think about with Dr. Seuss? Horton hears a who. If you don't know what they... We're here. We're here. We're here. The cry goes out. We're here. There had to be someone to listen. You have a God that stores all your tears. And he came for you. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. It's God with us. His love establishes everything else. I watch preachers all the time. I know preachers, and they want to be self-righteous, okay? And you say they're self-righteous preachers? Yeah, there's a lot of us at times, okay? And they'll say, God's most important attribute, right, is his righteousness. He's a righteous God, and you are going to have no way. You deserve to burn in hell. That's right. You know what I find in my Bible when it tells me how to reach people? Does it start off with that one? On some have making a difference. And others hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. When they won't hear the love and compassion of God, then you deal with them about the sin. You can still deal with them about their sin because they need to know they're a sinner if they're going to get saved, don't they? You can't get saved until you're lost. But how you present that, when someone tries to justify it, then you give them the righteousness of God. But before that, most famous verse in the New Testament, John 3:16. For God so judged the world, loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Go to John chapter 10. You don't have to agree with me, and I think God's greatest attribute is his love, and I believe everything else comes out of that. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it how? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. See, his love establishes the relationship. No greater love can a man have than this, that he does what? Lay down his life for his. But God commendeth his. While we were yet, Christ died for us. You go to the rest of that passage and it said, willing to die for us, how much greater it is that he's living for us. Amen? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I was up with Randy and Ellen Mumper early on when they were just planting their, starting to plant their church in Kingston, Ontario, and they had a man who was visiting, came from another church, and it was funny because, I'm not trying to pick on him, but he was a Salvation Army person who was just looking for any church that would preach from a King James Bible. But he didn't believe, because you know what they don't believe? They don't believe in eternal security. Okay, they don't believe in it. They believe you can lose it. You know what I'm telling you this morning? If you could lose it, you already would have. Amen? And I said, but wait a minute. Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And he goes, no one can pluck me out, but I could step out. So then he got 30 more verses. And he goes, but I wrote a book on this. And I said, you chose to cherry pick verses that make you think out of Matthew and Acts that you might be able to lose it? And you want to come hear Sam Gipp? Because that's what he wanted to do. He came down to this church to hear Sam Gipp. And he gave me a copy of his book. He said, what are you going to do with this? I said, hold the door open with it. I'm blunt. I told you. I said, you cannot give me scripture to prove your stand without you twisting that scripture. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a matter be established, right? John chapter 14. What's the purpose of the miracles of Christmas? John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am ye may be also. And whither ye go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look at verse 27 of the same chapter. Peace I leave with you, my peace I, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I don't want a little room in heaven. Say, why do you say that? Because many of the translations translate, in my Father's house are many rooms. Okay? The way I am, they'd have to be padded. He's promised me a mansion. Amen? I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Amen? He's promised me a mansion. Why? Because he wants the best for me. I do not have a God that's waiting for me to trip and fall down so that he can then hammer me. You have a God who wants to bless. You have a God that waits so long it drives us crazy. But many times, you know what? That's needed. How long in your Bible, how long was it from when Abraham was told of God, I'm going to make you as the sand of the sea, the stars of heaven. And we're told in Genesis 15, I believe it is, Abraham believed God. He was told the promise. He said he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake. So when did Abraham come to God? When by faith he believed him. How many years was it between when he believed God and when his faith passed the test? About 17. You understand that? And in those years, twice Abraham offered his wife to save his own butt. Oh, to save his derriere. Okay? Tell him you're my sister. He wasn't lying. She was his half-sister. And no, that wasn't wrong then. It is now. Because we can see Abraham's faith in Genesis 22. God saw his faith in Genesis 15. You know what we do so many times? Someone claims Christ as Savior. They trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then we immediately expect them to be as holy as we are. I'm being facetious. Amen. I'm being facetious. If you don't know what the word means, ask Pastor Kenny. It's a relationship. 1 John 4:10 says, "Here is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Big fancy word. It means the payment. Okay? He was our payment. I don't know about you, but I'm glad somebody's picking up payments. Okay? I can't remember the chorus, but it was, "I had a bill I could not pay, for the wages of sin is death," right? "I had a bill I could not pay. He paid a bill he did not owe." That's what Christmas is about. The bill came due because in the fullness of time, a virgin conceived. His time was perfect. We get caught up when we don't understand God's timing. I do not understand it. If I could, then my God would be no greater than me. So by faith, I have to believe what He says in His word. Thomas said, "I won't believe unless I can touch the wounds in His hands and the wound in His side." And Jesus said to him, "Come on." And He tells him, "So now you believe?" How great is those who believe without doing so. God commendeth His love for us, His love to us, or towards us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Born to die. Born to die. Knowing it and still doing it. In His deity, willing. In His humanity, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The beginning of my righteousness didn't even start in a manger in Bethlehem. It started in a term, I think it's kind of funny, because eternity has no beginning, has no end. But our minds are finite. So you know what we say? Eternity past. That's a misnomer. There's no such thing as eternity past, because before Abraham was, I am. God's outside of time. Time is to help us so our brains don't explode. When we look at Christmas, we need to know that the world needs that message. I love going into a store when they say, "Happy Holidays." I say what? Yeah. I don't say Kwanzaa. Say, "Merry Christmas. Can I give you something to read?" This week I've given out 10 of the Christmas in my heart tracts. I love giving out God's gift of eternal life. Because it's a gift. The gifts given to him pointed to his deity, to his intercession, and to his suffering. Given to him about 2 years after he was born, because that's how long it took the wise men to come to him. It's approximately 2 years. They weren't there at the manger. Okay? They weren't there. The star appeared when he was born, and then they came to him. That's why Herod killed all the children 2 years old and under. So your Bible is written that you might have faith. I was watching a YouTube video, Christian video, and they had this guy who, when I don't know, because I'm a kook, but I'm a dinosaur, and I don't know if you want to call me a T-Rex or a pterodactyl. I don't care. I'm old. But the point is, I don't know much about AI and JAT-TP, whatever that. What are the, say it for me. Guy put in, how truthful is the Bible? And it went through and it did all the things that have been proven historically, showing that it was accurate. How truthful is the Bible as a history book? And that AI came back and said, more than any other book ever written. It can be verified by secular writings down through the millennium. I don't know about you, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This morning, the world needs to know a Savior has come. One last place, Hebrews chapter 13, and then we're done. Hebrews 13, look at verse 5. Let your conversation, that means your manner of life, not just the words out of your mouth, but the way you live that speaks, okay? Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The message of the birth of the Savior to Joseph was, fear not. The message of the birth of the Savior to Mary was, fear not. The message to the elderly that came to his birth, when you read the text, you'll understand what I'm saying. The message was, fear not. He's the fulfillment of what I've promised. And the message here is, fear not. I will not fear what man shall do unto me, because in his love he sent his son. In his love he was willing to come. In his love he was willing to become a who. So you know that we are heard. We need to tell people about Jesus Christ at Christmas time. We fail it so many times. How many of you, without raising a hand, you've been out shopping and you got tired of people getting in front of you? Someone taking your parking spot. Someone not paying attention in the aisleways. I've had my feet run over these last 2 weeks with carts. how do you miss me? Okay? Did I want to say, praise God? No. Okay, I don't feel the bottom of my feet, but the top, there's some still nerve endings there. You turn around with that. You look at people, and they're pushing, and they're shoving, and they want certain things. I've had to go to Costco. Judy wouldn't go in with me. She goes, I'm not going in there. I went to BJ's to get gummy bears. Do you know how many people were in BJ's Saturday? They're all running around upset, getting disappointed, or trying to get enough. I can't say all. I'm given to hyperbole. It's part of being a kook. Okay. But it's a case of, are we going to look at those things? Are we going to look at what the season is all about? Can we rejoice? I went to give a track to someone who was nice to me. I'm going to finish with this story. I needed the shear bolts for my snowblower. I only have one left, and I go to do Michael's driveway. I always break one on his driveway. Okay. I got one left. They had to order them. One of the men who works at the John Deere dealership in Fulton lives down the road from me. I never knew that. So he said, I'll bring them out to you, Mr. Legault. He said, aren't you one of the pastors over at Emmanuel? And I says, well, I used to be the senior, and now I'm old. And my pastor lets me help and do things. And I said, I'm pastor emeritus, I'm assistant pastor, associate pastor, whatever you want. And he goes, I thought that's where you went. We live right down the road from you. He says, I'll bring them out to you when I come home from work. He says, they'll be at my house by 5:30. You can pick them up by 6. I got busy doing stuff with Judy and never picked them up. So he called me that night and said, you never came for them. If you want, you can get them tomorrow, or give me your full house address and I'll drop them off. And I'm going, this is a nice guy, right? I says, no, I've got to go because I had forgotten something from my wife. I got to go to Walmart. I'm going to swing by. And he stands out at the road to make sure that I don't pass his house. I have the house number. And I go to give him a track. And he goes, are you a believer too? And he says, you already called me pastor. And he says, well, and he says, I'm glad you made it this time because my wife and I are leaving. We're going to go work in a soup kitchen. And we're going to hand out free groceries. And he says, do you know how many people live under a bridge in Syracuse? You know what they need to know? A Savior has come. And all God's people said, amen.